Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down or cut down and cast into the fire." In verse 20, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence with joy, maybe even some singing. We're singing earlier, shouting the praises of God. So happy to be in your kingdom, Lord. So happy to be born again. And so happy to be able to bring the word of God to my listeners. Please help me to preach. And please give those listening understanding. Please reveal Jesus Christ to them in perhaps a way they've not seen before in their hearts. And I thank you for it. If there's any trouble in their lives, I want you to do what only you can do. Heal, deliver, set free, encourage, what have you. And most of all, I pray that those that are not born again, not truly born again, they may be church attenders, they may be rank sinners, but I pray that the convicting power of the Spirit would touch their hearts and that they would be born again. Heavenly Father, please hear us in Jesus' name, and we thank you always in that precious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This broadcast is the last one on the Sermon on the Mount. We understand it was chapter 5, 6, and 7. And we spent a few weeks, I guess, on each chapter, but this broadcast will finish it out. And I want to say that I'll be taking about a 3-month sabbatical. I'm going to replay an old series of programs that I did a few years ago. But when I get back, we're going to pick up in chapter 8, and we're going to see what Jesus does in that chapter. But let's take a look at the passage today. We started out this chapter, verse 1, I believe, of this chapter. He says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." But then we saw in verse 5, and in verse 6, and in verse 15 here, and then later on down in verse 21, I guess, Jesus does exactly that. He judges. How can he contradict himself? But he said in those first few verses that we need to get the beam, the 2x4, out of our own eye. And after we do that, we can see clearly enough to take the piece of sawdust, speck of sawdust, out of someone else's. In other words, we need to be born again first. We need to have our life changed first. We need to realize that we are wrong first. And there has to be a period of mourning for our sins. There has to be a period of spending time in the Word of God to learn the things that are right. And it's a mirror. If you remember perhaps some of the teachings in the temple that we did some months back or last year or whatever, the brazen laver was made from the looking glasses, it says, of the women assembling. In other words, all the women in the camp, they gave their looking glasses, their mirrors. They gave them up, and it was fashioned into a laver or a laboratory. And the priests would have to come and wash. Whenever they did anything at all, before they did it and after they finished, they needed to go wash. Looking into the water, which obviously gives a reflection. And the basin, the lavatory, was made out of recycled mirrors. As we study the Word of God, we see ourselves. Yes, we see Jesus Christ. There's no question. And again, I can't wait to chapter 8. I love those few passages where Jesus goes around healing the sick and raising the dead and what have you. I love to read those passages. But we also see ourselves, and not the good parts. We see our failures, our faults, our sin, the things that we do wrong, our motives, our attitudes, what have you. And God convicts us. He shows us that we're wrong, and hopefully we repent. Hopefully we agree with God and say, Lord, I know that's the kind of person I am. Remember Jacob. He wrestled with that angel. And finally he had to admit, my name's Jacob, my name's Deceiver. And then the angel changed his name to Israel, a prince with God. He had to admit first that he was wrong. But after you do that, after you spend time with God, after you, and it can be said of you that just like the disciples, they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. After you've been with Jesus, then you can stand and say, hey, let me get that little piece of sawdust out of your eye. Because you've seen how you were wrong. You've seen that you were arrogant. You've seen that you were on the wrong path, etc. And you've been chastened by the Lord. Perhaps you've learned brokenness or suffering when done wrong and not saying a word about it. Your dreams, they don't come to pass, but you patiently endure. When you've spent time with the Lord and you've allowed Him to pull the 2x4 out of your eye, then you can go and, quote, quote, judge other people because you love them, because you understand that you were right where they are. You have compassion upon them. And this passage here, today we'll mention again verse 15 and verse 21, where Jesus judges. But again, it's not condemning. Certainly he condemns the false prophets, there's no question, but it's because he loves those that they're preaching to that he points out their errors. But it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. We understand a wolf in sheep's clothing. Well, he looks like a sheep. He's wearing sheep's clothing. It's interesting, a shepherd will have a garment, clothes, raiment, whatever, made out of wool. We understand that sheep produce wool. But it's wool that was sheared, and it doesn't hurt the sheep any, if at all, to be sheared. And the wool grows back. But a wolf doesn't shear the sheep. He eats the sheep. Quite a bit of difference. And he puts not some tunic or robe made out of wool, but a sheep's skin, the hide of the animal. And the inside of the animal was in the stomach of the wolf. Obviously a bit of difference. They don't look like wolves. They look like sheep. But inwardly they are ravening wolves, hungry, snarling, no compassion, no patience. Just one thing on his mind. Hey, lamb chops. Beware of false prophets. I remember when I first got saved about 30 years ago, I asked this question, what's a false prophet? I didn't know what that was. The answer I got was, well, you know, there's the cults. There's the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists and whoever else, the various cults. Moonies, what have you. And I suppose that was correct at the time. I'm sure that there were false prophets other than that in the church. Back then we didn't really know of anything. But the fact is that there are false prophets. Some of them are on television. Some of them in pulpits. Maybe the church down the road, who knows? But I don't want to focus on that so much. But I want to ask this one question. What do they preach, these prophets or teachers or pastors or whatever? What do they preach? That's the important thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh yeah, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. One of the apostles said, don't be many masters, be a servant instead. The apostle, remember, is last. He's at the bottom, not the top. The people on the top are the people we're trying to minister to. A servant lifts. A servant is at the bottom. He's the one that doesn't care about himself, but he cares about the master or the people that he's serving. And again, the word minister really means servant. Deacon has the connotation of serving, not lording over. But he says in verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? I remember back when I was a kid, I used to love going to the cow pasture. I guess there was one next door or whatever. And you could find a young thistle about a foot high or whatever that wasn't old and wasn't hard and whatever. You could take a pocket knife and peel it, get rid of all the stickers or whatever. And with a little salt, it actually tasted pretty good. And when I get a chance, I still eat that today. But a thistle doesn't produce figs. It produces thorns. Even so, every good tree, in verse 17, bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And that's just a fact of life. I understand that some orange trees would have you have little thorns. I understand that. But for the most part, an apple tree doesn't have thorns. A tomato plant doesn't have thorns. But again, something like a thistle, it doesn't produce any fruit at all. It only grows thorns. But he says, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down or cut down and cast into the fire. And again, their custom back then, they did certain things that we don't do today. They would burn grass. They would burn, apparently, thistles and what have you. But the reference, cast into the fire, it talks of hell. False prophets will end up in hell. Okay, fine, we get rid of them, but the problem is that people, gullible people, sit and listen every week to false teachers, false prophets. And they're in danger of following right along. The fact is, a good preacher, a good teacher, a good prophet, if you will produce fruit. He'll win souls. There'll be people healed, perhaps. There'll be people delivered from drugs. There'll be people whose lives have changed, gotten off alcoholism or whatever, and changed, clothed and in their right minds, what have you. Instead of the wrong place on Saturday night, you find them in church on Sunday morning. They will produce good fruit. But a false teacher, a corrupt tree, cannot produce good fruit. There won't be any deliverance. There won't be any true salvations. It just won't be. Instead, the focus may be on money or position or wealth, what have you, and not on souls, and not on the Lord who died for souls. But taking the next passage, verse 21 through 24, I suppose. And again, these are hard sayings. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, I go to church. I'm a member of such and such church, and every Sunday, and choir practice, and all of that 20 years, and not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a hard saying. That's a hard saying. Not everyone that says, I'm a Christian, is going to make it to heaven. But he that does the will of my Father. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Some churches are real big on prophecy. They go overboard with it, honestly. And in my name have cast out devils. Some churches are big into casting out devils. As strange as that may seem, that's what they major on. And in thy name done many wonderful works. A lot of noise and clamor and a lot of stuff going on. But in verse 23, and then will I profess to them, yeah, you did all this stuff, but I never knew you. But Lord, Lord, we did all this in your name. Yeah, but you never took the time to get to know me. You never learned what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You never learned it. And I never got to know you. You never got to know me, and I don't know who you are. Don't recognize you. But I was in church every Sunday, sat on the second row and sang in the choir. No, I'm sorry, I don't recognize you, Jesus says. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. A hard message, a hard thing to say. But Jesus says it. No relationship. Don't be one that doesn't have a relationship with God. Somebody said, well, you're a Christian. And the answer I've heard too many times, well, I'm Baptist. Oh, well, I'm Catholic. Oh, well, praise God, bless God, I'm a Pentecostal, or whatever. And you may be a Catholic, you may be a Baptist, you may be a tongue-talking Pentecostal, but let me ask you a question. Why don't you confess Christ? Why do you identify with your denomination first? Your denomination didn't die on the cross for you. Your church, your choir didn't die on the cross for you. Jesus Christ gave his life, shed his blood for you. And it's only through him that you can have salvation. Somebody says, if you're a Christian, you ought to be saying, yeah, thank God, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven because of what Jesus did for me. Some people have all this activity. They do. As an old saying, I guess, in some circles, Mary had a little lamb, it would have been a sheep, but it joined a Baptist church and died from lack of sleep. It's good to be in the choir. It's good to belong to the men's ministry. It's good, perhaps, to give out hot dogs and shoes to the homeless on Saturday morning or whatever. It's good. But there's a difference between activity and genuine relationship. And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Don't let it be said of you. Get to know him. Get to know him. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will like him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. We understand that that rock in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul is talking about in the wilderness and what have you, and he said that rock was Christ. When Moses took his stick and smacked the side of that mountain, and I believe it was Exodus chapter 17, and the water came out, enough water to satisfy 3.5 million people, plus their flocks and herds. They were satisfied. It wasn't just a little dabble, do you? That was a great river that came out of the side of that mountain. That rock was Christ. You should build your house, or your church, or your Christian experience on the rock. Because when the storms of life come, it won't fall down. It won't blow down. Because it's founded upon a rock. Now, we understand in Louisiana we don't have rocks. We do the best we can with concrete. Make a slab, maybe pilings, what have you, in New Orleans, what have you. We try the best we can, but in certain cultures there are rocks. There's bedrock. All of New York City is on bedrock, for instance. You get down to the rock and you've got a firm foundation, but if you build your house just on sand and don't have a foundation, don't have pilings, don't have anything, you just try to put something on the ground, well, you understand it's going to sink, it's going to lean, and it's eventually going to fall. But he says in verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, the hurricane, what have you, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, maybe somebody's listening to me, and they agree with what I say, but they're not ready to put down the activity. Now, I'm not saying you ought to get out the choir. If you're in the choir, stay in the choir. That's good. But you're not ready to say that my focus ought to be on Jesus and simple obedience to the Lord. You say you're not ready. Well, you hear, you agree. Don't be just a hearer of the word. It's one thing to say, "I believe." It's another thing to say, "Okay, I'll get up and rise up and walk." Jesus said that to a number of folks. If they'd have stayed there, they wouldn't have been healed. It's up to you. It's up to you. But verse 28 and 29, to close out the chapter, and again, the entire Sermon on the Mount. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." I guess there's backstory. The scribes hemmed and hawed and argued and bickered and wouldn't believe. Remember when the wise men came asking where was Jesus? Herod called the scribes and Pharisees and all those guys and says, "Hey, where's he going to be?" And said, "Oh, yeah, Bethlehem." They quoted the prophet. They didn't go out to see him. They didn't go with the wise men saying, "Hey, you know, let's find him because we want to worship him." They just went right back to arguing about the books. They knew the law backwards and forwards, could quote it, make a reference to the Messiah. "Oh, he's going to be born in Bethlehem." And they essentially went back to sleep. They were not going to leave their books. They were not going to leave their lifestyle of arguing about the Word of God. They were hearers, but they weren't doers. But when Jesus spoke, he had authority. Not, "Look at me, I'm in charge." But, "Look, I'm preaching the Word of God, and you know it's right because God has convicted you in your heart. And I've given you verse after verse, after chapter after chapter. I've quoted Moses, I've quoted David, I've quoted Abraham. I've quoted all of these people and taught you the truth, and you know it's right." And the people were astonished at his doctrine. And that's what amazes me about the Gospel of Matthew. How Jesus is such a great burning light. A great earthquake which shakes everything. All religion, all traditions, everything. Everything was shaken when he came. And the glory and brilliance of the Master can be seen, and it's wonderful to me. I see Jesus Christ in all of his glory when I read the book of Matthew, and I'm so glad to be able to teach it. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.